Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of I Do, I Did, I Don't. I'm Lori Wood of McCoy Fatula, here with my partner in crime and co-host Steve Fatula, and today we have a guest. But Steve, if you want to say good morning first before we introduce our beautiful guest.
Good morning, everyone.
We are here with Coach Mo Peace. Mo is a woman of many gifts and talents. She is a musician, an author, a certified grief and life coach, a certified behavioral therapist, and from what I was seeing yesterday, a beatboxer when it strikes you. Did I cover all the bases?
Yeah, kind of not bebopper, but more singing.
Singing.
Yeah.
I just meant freestyling in the mood when you're introspective.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Improving.
Yes. But we are excited that you're here.
Yes.
We were very thrilled to get the chance to meet you. I understand that you've been helping people get over grief. You've been through some grief yourself. And your mission, if that's the right word, is to help people turn pain into purpose. So we're going to expand on that today. But we just want to welcome you and say good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Lori. And thank you for letting me be here. I appreciate you both.
Wow, we're just happy to be here. Do you want to jump right in and tell us a little bit about yourself, and we will just roll from there?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
So my name is Coach Mo. Of course, my name is Monique Smith, but I go by Coach Mo. Some may know me as Miss Mouthpiece because that's my artist name.
And you actually have a few albums or an album, don't
you? I have an album, and I have a lot of singles as well.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and I do a lot of different things, but out of the titles, I'm just a mother, a grandmother, a woman, you know, thriving and just trying to discover who I am and why I'm here on the earth to do purpose, to be uplifting to someone else.
I love that.
Yeah.
So many things are not about someone else. You know, yeah. If you could give back or, you know, try and figure out your why, I think it's a wonderful journey.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we were able to talk a little before this today. Are you native Californian or where are you from?
Yes, I'm from California.
Okay.
Yes, I'm from California.
Sacramento area?
Sacramento. I was born and raised in Sacramento. I grew up near Oak Park, which is near Curtis Park. And that was my community as a little girl. And I was able to move around a little bit. And then I left for a while, for about 12, 13 years. And then I came back to Sacramento. So Sacramento is home.
It's home.
For me. Yes.
And what took you away and where'd you go?
I got married at a very young age. I was 20 years old when I was married. And I was a young mother and became a young wife. And so my ex-husband and I, we got stationed down south. And that was a beautiful experience because I had never been away from home. And, you know,
and quite a difference in the culture.
Right. I was in Mississippi. Biloxi.
Very different than Sacramento.
Very different, but very the pace was very slower than Sacramento. And Sacramento at that time was very slow.
Right, right.
But I think I really appreciate Mississippi because I always tell people I became a woman in Mississippi.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because the pace was like, it's not so busy. You don't have to really be in competition. You really get to discover yourself.
Yeah, and you had time to do that with the slow pace.
Yes, I did. I'm very thankful that I experienced that because I don't know where my life would have just been if I would have been in this pace of Sacramento. I don't know where it would have went.
And your husband was in the service?
My ex-husband,
ex-husband,
yes.
My apologies.
Yes, he was in the Air Force.
And, you know, that I have great appreciation and respect for.
Yes.
So how long were you married?
Ooh, so we were married. We were married, I would say just on paper, we were married like 10 years, 10 to 12 years. Yes.
That's a long time for someone marrying so young.
Absolutely.
It is. I mean, you don't know how to be a wife at 20.
No.
I got married at 17.
Yeah.
I understand. And I'm grateful for the experience because I am who I am because of it.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that it didn't work out. So you were married for 10 years. And then when you divorced, is that what brought you back home?
Yes. I came back home. But before I came back home, I wasn't Monique anymore. I was Miss Mouthpiece. Well, I was mouthpiece initially. And I came back because we went from Mississippi and then we went to the Japan. And wow. then that's kind of how I discovered Miss Mouthpiece. That's how I got that name. So
is that when your music career started?
Or yeah,
when that's you started when, experimenting with your music?
Yes, that's when I kind of discovered that I had something different outside of just singing in church. Mm. And I discovered also, like, wow, like, this was a purpose moment, taking a pain from purpose moment for me as well. It was like the beginning of that. I didn't understand it, like, hindsight now.
100%.
But it definitely was the beginning of that pain so shifting.
I want to understand. So the pain of the divorce was turned into the positive of your music.
Yes.
Or finding that piece of you.
Yeah, but it wasn't even in the divorce. It was in the process.
Got it.
You know, when you're actually trying to fight and you're trying to, like, should I stay? Should I go? And yes. you have all these different reasons why you want to stay. And
everybody has an opinion.
Everybody has an opinion, mm-hmm. right? And I, like I said, I was so young, and I didn't even think I even knew what a wife even looked like. I was just doing my best, right? Yeah. And in that, I just took music as this kind of like an escape for me.
A healthy one.
Yeah.
Not many people turn to, you know, I shouldn't yeah. say that. There's a lot of times people turn to non-healthy things. But I know if I'm in a mood, music helps. If I want to change the mood, I listen to happy. Mm-hmm. You know, if I need to get something out and have a good cry, I'll listen to a couple songs that I played for my mom in a, you know, in a moment that she needed it. So yeah. it inspires and can certainly change how you feel.
Absolutely.
So I think that's an amazing gift to have. I can't sing. I mean, it sounds like a dead cat, but I appreciate that those who can.
That's funny.
I mean, you hit on something that we work with a lot of clients, obviously, going through divorce. That's our main thing we do. And it's amazing that a lot of people are kind of, through life, held with some type of apprehension or fear. Mm-hmm. And then it's kind of like the divorce process is kind of like, screw it all. And then they either don't care about failing in that way, and they try something new. But we've had so many people have these new hobbies or these new lives or these changes in direction to go, and like, they kind of needed the divorce to spark it or to kind of release them from whatever that thing is. Is that kind of the scenario that you're explaining? It's kind of like you were there and you're like, you know what? This is now what I'm feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. Very I feel cool. like I was that young woman mm-hmm. that was trying to still discover myself, and in the discovery, in the pain, in the kind of making failures and dropping the ball. And, you know, sometimes we can, it's so easy to blame the other person, but I don't think I was in so much of the blaming at that time. I think I was more just trying to figure out how can I just keep going? Great. And that was kind of like, it just became my life for me. Like,
that's a wonderful lesson to learn early on. I mean, our 20s are for figuring out who we are, making mistakes, dropping the ball, doing all the things. And it takes a while to figure out that you just have to put your head down and keep going, keep pushing. And sometimes I still need to be reminded of that.
Yeah.
So you learning it early on and turning it into something inspirational is amazing.
Yes.
So outside of the music, you came back home. And I know that this is a difficult subject, but you had 1 year where you lost 9 family members.
Absolutely. And that was just for that year. Right.
Wow.
So before we can talk about losing family members, it was it started like the end of December, I believe, 20. I get the dates all mixed up.
That's okay.
But anyway, it started at the end of December a few years ago, and it started with my cousin's sister. And so it started like that. Then it went from after that happening, it was like, I think my mom took sick prior to that. So, yeah, it started with my mom taking sick. You know, she had a heart attack, and she was in a coma, and then she came out of the coma. And so that was kind of the beginning of, like, grieving that the fact that my mom was different and grieving that the fact that this is something new that I have to experience. So after that, after I'm processing the fact that my mother is going through this, navigating through, you know, her health challenges. Now, that's when the losses begin. And it did not stop. it was literally like December, January, February. I mean, it was just nonstop, and to the point where by September, that was when my mother passed. And then it felt like it got quieter. Then we had more relatives passing. So in between that, in between my mother passing, in between me having to restart my whole life because life just started lifing for me. Mm-hmm. And I had to let go another relationship. This wasn't a marriage, so I had to let go another relationship. I had to let go my home. I had to let go. It was a lot of grieving, not just grieving the loss of someone, but the loss of my life.
I understand that. I have a question. I did not have 9 people, but mm-hmm. I had 6.
Mm-hmm.
And it started when my mom got sick, just like you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a close person commit suicide, another person just drop. And then my father right after my mom. So for me, I couldn't mourn that one person because I was moving on to the next person. My father had Alzheimer's, and like you, I had to navigate what that looked like now. And I assume just by meeting you that you were the caretaker for your mom or you were her person.
Yeah.
And I was that too. And do you feel like you ever had the chance to grieve each of your losses? Because I think I'm still trying to figure out how to do that today because it happened so consecutively.
So I'm glad you asked that question. I was talking to my son on yesterday, and I said, man, I was watching a movie, and I realized that there's levels to grief, right? And I was like, oh, I grieved this person. I was able to forgive that person, but I didn't grieve the beautiful things that doesn't exist anymore. Because that's another level of grief.
That's the hard part I had a moment last night, and it was probably because reading your story, you know, it's something that they say time heals everything. It may dull it, but it doesn't go away. It'll always be there with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't imagine one after the other that you've not completed the process of grieving, or if you ever will. Is that where... How did you take that pain and turn it into something?
I definitely had to go inwardly.
Okay.
I had to go inwardly. And because of my faith, I had no choice but to just be like, listen, this is beyond me. And yeah, I had to learn how to breathe.
I read that in your book.
Yeah, I had to learn how to breathe. I feel like this book, Just For Me, I mean, I'm saying just for me, just what I needed. I wrote it for now. It was like I wrote this book and didn't know that I was going to experience this pain.
So the book came first.
Yeah, the book. I dropped the book during COVID.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And so these losses are quite recent.
Yes.
But what an amazing thing to have a tool for yourself.
Yes.
During that time.
Yes. I didn't know that I was actually writing this book for myself.
It's incredible. Things work out. I was thinking the other day that, you know, life's like you said, and it's not smooth. I mean, even this morning we had our share of challenges, but it all worked out. We're here. We're having a great time. We're healthy. We're happy. We're whole.
Mm-hmm.
But in those moments, I think that for me, you know, I have beliefs strong too. And I think that somebody's always picked me up and moved me out of the way from that really big boulder. And I'm thankful. Or the choices I've made have happened for a reason. It sounds like that book.
Yeah.
It was your foresight to a need that you were going to have.
Mm-hmm.
And her book, Just What I Needed, is a series of inspirational poems and quotes and her words that really, I think it's a great book. I think it's on Amazon.
Yes, it is.
And can certainly help people not feel alone.
Mm-hmm.
To remember to learn how to breathe,
mm-hmm.
to remember to use positive words because words can scar and hurt.
Yeah.
So I know that you are a motivational speaker as well.
Yes.
And you go around talking pain into purpose. And I know I keep pulling you back to that.
No,
but
that's
I want to know what that looks like and how we can help our listeners if they're going through something traumatic, a divorce, a death, any trauma.
Mm-hmm.
How to deal with that in a healthy way and make something beautiful grow from it.
Well, for me, I just had to sit and pause for a minute and just actually feel it. I had to feel it. I had to sit in it. I had to feel it. I have to kind of make a decision that even though I am feeling this pain and it can be brutal at times.
Yeah, I don't like that part.
Right. No one
not
does.
Not a fan, no.
I'm like, raise your hand if you want to deal with this pain. Yeah. Raise your hand. And no one's raising their hand.
No, it's like saying, do you like surgery? Nobody does.
No one does. Well, some people do. But
well, it depends on what you're getting. Whether it's by choice.
Right. But I would say for me, what that looked like was, it just kind of started off a series of different things. It was, I had to just kind of like restart my life, reboot my life. And yes, there's times where there's days, there's moments where I'm could be at work. I could be driving in my car. That doesn't take away that I have to feel it. But what I learned in the feeling is that I don't have to stay in it. So that means that now I have to make a choice that I have to keep living. And what that looks like for me is that I have to show up for work. I still have to take care of myself. I still have to eat right. I have to take care of exercise. I have to read. I have to be around people that truly love me, that have my best interests.
That's a big one.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Whether it's family or friends, whether it's coworkers or even business partners.
Yeah.
It's very important to have, you know, people that are like-minded that can show a little bit of empathy. And that's kind of not judging or trying to force you to be where they want you to be.
And I think as you get older, your tolerance for that is less. You know, you want to be with people that you respect, like-minded people that you can be everything you need to be,
mm-hmm.
the good, the bad, the warts.
Right.
And that you're not judged. You can have an honest conversation.
Mm-hmm.
If you mess up, you can call it out and move on.
Yeah.
And just real.
Right.
You know, and I love that you're surrounding yourself with people like that, because what's the alternative?
Yeah.
You know, it just breeds stress and negativity and all that stuff. And you say you have to sit in it, you have to feel it, and you had to make choices.
Yes.
What choices? You said you mentioned you lost a home and a relationship, or you left, not lost.
No.
You left.
I lost.
Okay. I didn't want to put words in your mouth.
I lost. And when I say lost, I mean there was just, it's a big story, but it was a situation that I just had to abruptly move out of my home. And even though I had favor in the situation, I still had to be uncomfortable, right?
Right?
I, you know, and that was challenging because I was in the middle of my grief, you know, and then I had to live with someone. And then I had to find out that that relationship wasn't what I thought it was. And then I had to forgive that and move on past that. It was so many things that was just happening that I showed up for myself. I started doing yoga. I started learning about breath work. I started, you know, just doing different things, you know. And then when I decided to just kind of have a casual book signing, I was going to just talk about my book. And then one day I said, you know what, I'm going to just talk about grief. And people came out. And that was the moment when I realized that I needed to do something for my community that was bigger than myself, bigger than my grief. I needed to start a grief group that was going to help people navigate through their grief, not feel alone, feel like you have someone that actually, I may not understand exactly your pain, but we can stand together and say we both have it.
Right.
We all
the
have it.
The details of how you got there might not be the same, but the pain is the pain.
Absolutely.
So you started to support a grief group.
Yes, called The Journey of Grief, From Pain to Purpose.
And where can people get information about that, or when is it, and where can they go?
Yes, so it's every second Monday, which is coming up on, it's coming up, I believe, on the 9th. I believe Monday is the 9th.
Mm-hmm.
Every second Monday of the month. And we have it at the Rose Family Empowered Creative Center.
That's a big name.
It is.
Where's that located?
So it's located at 7000 Franklin Boulevard, Suite 1020. Everyone's welcome. And it starts at 6 p.m. We do have a Zoom. So it's in person and it's in Zoom. So if you go to my website, which is coachmopeace.com, you can send me a message and I can give you all the information. And I can send you the flyer. And
I think that's amazing. And we will absolutely put it the information up, because that's important that people have a safe place to go to be around people feeling the same thing.
Yeah.
Steve does similar. He's done for over 10 years a workshop the second and third Saturday of the month to offer guidance on people going through family law issues, that. Divorce.
Yeah.
We're kind of expanding that with trust and estate planning, which has been around for a while. It's just not really been a large part of the seminar. Yeah. And then adding some coaching in. And it the consistency mm-hmm. and people knowing that you're there
mm-hmm.
can be such a sense of comfort.
Yeah.
You know, I appreciate everything you're doing.
I wanted to address one thing.
Yes.
You consistently say that you've kind of almost take responsibility for the situation. Not that it's your fault, someone else, it doesn't matter. It's recognize what it is. Don't blame everybody else and move on. And yeah. I think that that's stuff that we try so hard in the family law world, because people, as you can imagine, take cheap shots.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The divorce is always somebody else's fault. The custody breakdown is someone else's fault. Everyone's doing something bad. And the cases that never end are the ones that never, never accept that they're involved. Yeah. It's always the other side. And of course, there's situations where that's true, but that's very, very, very few. And I think that you've hit it so hard is that it sucks. You deal with the thing that sucks. Then you grow past the thing that sucks. And then you stop worrying about the thing that sucks. And you've moved on. You're paying the purpose. I think it's just wonderful, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
I love that, too. And you said you left your house just along the lines of what Steve was saying. And even though you had favor there, you had to go be uncomfortable.
Yeah, but it was the uncomfortable moment when that's when I found out that I was no longer the same.
Right? That's where the growth happened.
Well, that's where the purpose showed up.
Right.
It showed up in the uncomfort. It showed up in the, like, what is happening? Why? This is not my life. I didn't sign up for this.
Right. And that's a hard thing, but nobody wants to sit in the pain, like we said, because it's uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
So if you have to take ownership or accountability, it could be uncomfortable. So
ownership.
A lot of people will do a lot of things to avoid that.
Yeah.
I had to take ownership even in my grief, like even the people that I lost. Like, that's the thing that people don't talk about. Taking ownership of, like, my mother and I. Taking ownership of, like, you were trying to fix your mom. You were trying to help her and control her to be what you wanted her to be. And that was her life. She wanted to not always follow what the doctor said, right? But when I was kind of, I felt like it was a sense of judgment there. And then I had to dig deep and say, well, you don't follow everything either. And what the common denominator about the relationship that I had with my mom is, we really wanted the same thing. We wanted love. We just didn't know how to show each other that. But we did show each other that, but we it looked different, mm-hmm. right? So taking accountability of saying, man, like, I had a moment to love my mother before she passed away. And I think that gives me hope to keep going. And I'm just glad that I wasn't holding on to unforgiveness or bitterness or... But it definitely was a process that I had to experience. And being accountable to say, we both could have did better. But I'm going to still live out your legacy because you are my mom. And the areas that maybe you didn't do the best, I'm going to try to do the best in that.
Always teachable moments.
Everything is teachable.
Yeah.
You just have to be willing to learn.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that's amazing. I got tears in my eyes because you speak of your mom. My mom and I were very, very close.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some decisions she made or would not make with the medical practitioner that for years I've been thinking she would still be here.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute you said that, I thought, just let it go.
She's
not here. Let it go. So thank you for that. And thank you very much for being here today. We really appreciate you. I think you're very gifted.
Thank you.
I'm so glad that you're sharing your gifts with the world and providing a safe space for people to come and turn their pain into purpose.
Yes,
and
thank
you. And we hope you have you back again.
Yes, I would love to be back.
All right. To all of our listeners, as always, be kind to yourself, be kind to others. We hope we've educated, inspired, and entertained. Go have a great day, and we'll see you next week.
See you, everybody.
See you.